You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for once again tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We can be reached at on the phone at 321-454-4263. If you got any prayer requests or praise reports you'd like to pass along to us, haven't put that out there in a while, but if you've got any word of encouragement or anything like that, we would love to hear from you. You can also snail mail something to us at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. You can email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. There you can go to meritassembly.com and send us an email through the web page there. You can find out about us on Facebook. Don't mention this a lot, but you can actually watch many of the sermons that I preach on Facebook Live. We have live videos of those. If you like us on Facebook, you can go back and watch the videos. My daughters do Facebook video announcements to let people know what is going on at Merritt Assembly of God. And they have quite a following. Their announcements are not boring. They're quite entertaining. My favorite one was here a couple of weeks ago, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, where while they were doing the video announcements, I snuck up behind the piece of paper that they were holding, and I was behind them. And when they took the piece of paper down, they saw my reflection on the screen and kind of freaked out a little bit. So They're not boring announcements. If you'd like to check them out there, they've got their own little following going on out there, and we are very, very thankful for them. So today we're going to take you back in the Word of God to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yesterday we were talking about that ever-pleasant topic in the Word of God, that this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. A lot of times people focus on what they're being asked to give up instead of realizing the honor, the holy purpose, and the reward that God has. God is never going to ask you to give something to Him that He's not going to give you something even better and greater in return. A lot of times it just has to do with our perspective. So today we're going to move on to a much more enjoyable topic, literally, a more enjoyable topic. And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the things I love about the book of 1 Thessalonians is every chapter talks about the second coming. Every chapter has at least one mention of Jesus Christ coming again. I know that during this time of year, we are focusing on His first coming, the incarnation of Jesus Christ when He was born in the manger, and that's what we're working towards here in the month of December. But never forget, He said He was coming again. Over and over and over. And He said, be ready. And so I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 today. We're going to begin reading in verse number 8. We'll read verses 8 through 15, or 8 through 18. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, See that no one renders evil to evil or evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, let me start off by taking you back to verse number 9. And there it says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." God wants you in a covenant relationship with Him. He wants you walking as a saved individual. And that encompasses more than just your eternal fire insurance. He wants you walking in wholeness even now. He didn't appoint mankind to wrath. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, his messengers, but it wasn't created for human beings. And so one of the things that I always say, if you've ever watched a fish that was out of water, you would find that that fish was extremely miserable trying to live in an environment that it was never intended to live in, on dry land. If you take me, I was created to live on dry land, and you put me in an atmosphere that I wasn't designed to live in, then you can see that I would be severely miserable. I would be dying a miserable, wretched death. And the same is true spiritually. You and I, we need to realize just exactly what God has appointed us, what His will is, what He's called us to. He has not called us to wrath, to the wrath of God, but He's called us to be saved. Now, I need to distinguish the wrath, because there are three different aspects of wrath. There's the wrath of man, there's the wrath of hell, and then there's the wrath of God. What is being talked about here is the wrath of God. You haven't been appointed to the wrath of God. You will see here on earth that there are a lot of times where people suffer from the wrath of man. People get angry and they do things and the wrath comes out. There's also the wrath of hell. I don't know about you, but I think the best way to tick the devil off is to be found pleasing in God's sight. So I kind of want the devil mad at me. A lot of people view any opposition as an indicator that they shouldn't go ahead and do something. And I kind of have the opposite mindset. If I'm not making the devil upset because I'm doing something that's pleasing to God, I kind of think I need to go back and say, "God, what is it that you need me to do right that I'm not doing?" But I look at this concept of God has not appointed us to the wrath of God very much as an end time concept. When the wrath of God is poured out, that we read about in the book of Revelation, I don't think believers are going to be experiencing that. God makes a way of escape. Now, I realize there's a lot of different understandings about the end times. I'm very comfortable. I believe that Jesus could come back at any time, so I want to be ready. I realize that there are some other people that think that, what's going to happen is the rapture is going to happen in the middle of the tribulation, that 7 years of tribulation. I can see some of that stuff in scripture, but I'm very comfortable. I want to be ready now. I had a person one time told me, they said, even if Jesus is coming back, he's not coming back for a long, long time. I said, I think that's a very dangerous point of view, because even if the return of Christ doesn't happen for quite a while, you're still one heartbeat away from eternity, and you need to be ready. And so I don't I don't believe that I'm called to experience the wrath of God, and I don't believe that you are either. I believe he wants us saved. I believe he wants us blessed. I believe that's the will of God for us, and it's very clear here in the scripture. In verse number 11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Back in chapter 4 in verse number 18, after talking about that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we be with the Lord, therefore comfort one another with these words. The concept of Christ's return is not meant to be something that is a debate point. I like to tell people there's when the rapture happens, there's going to be someone who was right. There's going to be someone who was wrong. But people who were right are not going to be on their ascension into heaven going around and trash talking the way that you see on the that I think it's a Dr. Pepper commercial where the cheerleader tells the mascot, in your face. There's not going to be any of that gloating or celebrating. There's just going to be gratefulness that we're around the throne room of heaven and we're not alone. There's not going to be anything like that. I believe we waste a lot of time arguing things that nobody is going to be able to prove with 100% certitude. So, I don't believe it's something we're supposed to boast about. I think it's supposed to be something that we comfort one another with, the fact that, hey, look, Jesus is coming. Jesus is real. We're in a very real relationship with him, and there is an eternity that we are going to spend with him. That is something that we can comfort and edify one another with. Too many times, the concept of the second return of Christ and the rapture taking place is something that is used to instill fear and terror. They like to focus on the Antichrist and the beast and the vials and the bowls and all of that sort of stuff. And God's wanting you to realize what a wonderful relationship is there available. And look, if you're all you're looking for out of your relationship with Jesus is some fire insurance for eternity, you're missing it. There is so much more. There should be the fact that Jesus is coming again should be something that bolsters our faith. I didn't know this when I went to preach the funeral for my pastor, but I had always said that one of the greatest evangelists or one of the greatest people in the Bible that has the heart of evangelist was the rich man who went to hell. Because once he found out that there was no hope for him, he said, would you please send somebody to my family so that they don't end up in this horrible, wretched place? And I found out that my pastor that I grew up under, he said, man, I believe every believer needs a vision of the reality of hell to mobilize them. That it is a very real destination for millions and millions of people, and we need to be doing as much as we can to change the destination that people are flying. I was on my way home from a trip back to Oklahoma, and there was a plane change in Houston. It was late at night, and something happened, and a flight got canceled, and I wasn't going to be able to get on the plane to Orlando. And they said, we can either, put you all on standby for tomorrow, or, we can change your destination. I said, where can you get me? And they said, we can get you to Tampa. I said, I can get home from Tampa. And so they changed my destination. I got in a little bit later than what I would have coming into Orlando. But it was still something, I was glad to make the change of destination because it meant I wasn't going to be stuck where I was at. God can completely change your direction, your destination. If you do not know what it is like to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, you really want him doing life with you. You want him leading you, and not just as an added ingredient to your life, but you want him being the focal point of your life. That's where the joy happens. Comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Verse number 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak and be patient with all. There's a lot to unpack there. Those who are causing trouble, you need to warn them. Not everybody gets the same communication. There are people here who are in different conditions. There are troublemakers. Unruly means they don't want anybody in authority over them. I am so thankful for the authorities in my life. I don't view them as restrictive. I view them as God's blessing, as a source of wisdom and a source of strength. And so anybody who doesn't like authority, I will tell you that mindset, that lifestyle causes warning lights to go off in my spirit like nothing else. I don't want to be unaccountable. I'm so thankful that I am accountable. I have a presbyter. I'll be seeing him here in a few nights. I've got my wife. I've got the board at the church. I've got my superintendent. I've got my general superintendent. I got other ministers. In fact, one of the things that I do is if the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me and the insight, the revelation that I start getting in the Word is something that I've never heard before, I want that established. I want it very. So what I'll do is I'll call some of my brothers in Christ and say, look, this is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. I want to make sure it's the Holy Spirit and not the spirit of Bob. And so I'll say, you know, keep me from heresy. You know, that's my cry is, I don't want to be guilty of teaching people spiritual falsehoods. And so I'm thankful for those around. So warn those who are unruly, who don't like authority, and say, you know what? In this day and time, there has never been such a pervasive spirit of lawlessness in a society as what I see now, where they don't want any law, any restrictions whatsoever. They just want complete and total anarchy. That's dangerous. That's not from God. I will just tell you that right now. It is not from God. Comfort the faint-hearted. So you don't treat the faint-hearted the same way that you do the unruly. The faint-hearted means that there's not a lot of strength there. So you come and you comfort them, but it's not a patronization. It's not just a patting on the head and say, well, let's at least make you miserable or comfortable here while you're weak and infirm. This is about edifying and emboldening people. You know, you go back in the book of Judges and read all that God did to strengthen the heart of Gideon to where he became the deliverer of Israel from the Midianites. Gideon was focused on all of the shortcomings in his life. And the angel said, go in the strength you have. You've got enough of God's strength in you already. But he gave him confirmation after confirmation after confirmation until finally Gideon was saying, you know what? I can go. And then you know what the angel said? You got too many. You're going to need to whittle this down if you want to see the victory that God has for you. I pray that if you're feeling insignificant, my district superintendent a week or so ago posted a word on Facebook. He was going through the genealogies, the genealogy of Jesus, and he mentioned several people's names, and they were very famous names and people of notoriety. And in between some of those names, he mentioned a few other people's names, and he said, who were these people? And he went on and he said this, they were the links in the chain that made the famous names possible. And it's like, that is a phenomenal word. That is a phenomenal word. And you know, we're not in this to be in comparison with ourselves. We are here to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as we possibly can. And big churches and small churches, they operate. The things that we accomplish are two entirely different qualities. It doesn't mean that we don't embrace excellence, and we do. There's what I've been told is that one of the great strengths of being a smaller church is the fact that if God says something today and you want it done, there's not a committee, there's not a finance committee or any of that. There's just a, okay, it's a thus saith the Lord, let's go ahead and do this. The Refresh Radio program was something that came about in a very short period of time because an invitation was extended, and I didn't make a unilateral decision. I went to my board and said, hey, what do you think about this? We had one board member that was not there, and I found a way to get in touch with him to say, hey, what do you think about this? And so we were able, I think in a matter of just a few days, to embrace one of our biggest ministries, our biggest expenses that we have in bringing this word to you. And we did it not having the financial stream that would be able to support it. It was a step of faith. So we're not here to compare one another. We're just here to say, you know what? No matter what the condition of your heart is right now, I want to comfort you, encourage you, and strengthen you to where you are stronger. It says, uphold the weak and be patient with all. Be long-suffering with everybody. Now, if there's one thing about the body of Christ, is that we all need to remember how much mercy God has shown us. John Mark, okay, Paul wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians. John Mark had abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missions trip. And when they took their second missions trip, Paul didn't want to take John Mark because he had failed them in the past. And it was such a contentious meeting that Barnabas and John Mark went one direction and Paul and Silas went another direction. But I want you to understand that Paul would later write, would you send John Mark to me? He is a valuable, valuable member of the body of Christ. And so if you've ever blown it with the patience level or the long suffering, if you've been grateful for the patience that God's shown you, but you demonstrated impatience with someone else, I encourage you to go back and say, you know what? I need to apologize. I need to ask you to forgive me for being impatient. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something that if we're in relationship with the Holy Ghost, patience should be a supernaturally natural byproduct of our life. That's my term, supernaturally natural. It's something that's made possible because of the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. And see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursues what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And so first of all, let's talk about this being the will of God. And that is, you're not in the revenge business. You're in the redemption business. Well, they punched me in the nose, so I'm going to punch them in the nose. That's not the business you're in. They hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. Wrong business model. That is moving out of your arena, which is an arena of grace, into the realm of God's jurisdiction. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Okay. So our goal is not to get even with people. Our goal is to pray that God would save them, that he would forgive them, that the relationship would be restored and there would be reconciliation there. That's where we should be going with that. The latter part of verse number 15 says, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And I think that there's a tremendous gauge in that statement that can help provide insight when making decisions on what to do. And that is this, is pursuing this goal, is it going to be something that is spiritually beneficial to me and spiritually beneficial to everybody else? You see, in some of the world's transactions, there's people who get a good deal and people who get a bad deal. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for some of the bad deals I didn't get. But in the kingdom of God, it is not about one being put up while the other is being put down. In the kingdom of God, it is about God working on behalf of the good of each and every individual, of the body of Christ as a whole, the kingdom of God as a whole. Pursue what is going to be corporately beneficial. Okay? That can be a little bit challenging. But I tell you what it does do, it takes selfishness out of the equation. It takes dishonor out of the equation. It takes deception out of the equation. Okay? I don't know about you. I hate being lied to. Just don't like it. I'm really bad at it, so I don't do it. I want to tell people the truth because I'm a horrible liar. And I want to do things in a way that are going to be beneficial to the people around. I hope that this radio program is beneficial to you, that it's something that as we have pursued this, that it is something that is edifying to your life and to my life. I'll tell you, I've learned things getting ready to share things here on the radio. I'm thankful God's not done with me, and I'm thankful that he's not done with you. So we didn't get all the way through the passage here in First Thessalonians chapter 5, but you know what? Should the Lord tarry, we got tomorrow, and we will be back with you tomorrow at 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16, discussing the will of God. Until then, go out and make it a great day for the glory of God. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
You're